And what is up, everyone? Welcome to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Friday, December 4th, 2020. And I'm Chip, and I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. If you'd like to watch us, you can watch us over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So please do me a favor, support the show, hit subscribe, hit the bell so you don't miss any more episodes. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about all of the Week 13 matchups, all of the starts and sits for Week 13. And it's crazy that this is the last week of the regular season before we go into the fantasy playoffs. And for a lot of you out there, this is a crucial week. You want to make sure that you have the best lineup set up for you to put you in the best position to win. Now, there's not a lot of people out there that can say that they're already, you know, in the playoffs and, you know, good to go, have a first round bye and all that. So for the people who are there grinding each week, trying to, you know, to stack those wins up, and now you're at the point where this win this week could cause you to go into the playoffs and make a run for a fantasy championship. So I hope, you know, I'll be able to give you all the advice I can to get you to that point. But, you know, we got some crazy games this week in the sense of like the way that things are set up, because We have only two teams on a bye week, the Bucks and the Panthers, and we have two Monday night games, and then we have a Tuesday night football game because of all the things, because of the Ravens having to play the Steelers this past Wednesday. They had to move the Ravens and Cowboys game to a Tuesday night football game, so kind of crazy, but the good thing is that so far, there hasn't been any teams affected by COVID right now that's going to cause any delays in any of the games. So that's the good news. So let's get into all of the starts and sits for Week 13. And I'm going to start with the Saints versus the Falcons. Now, this game is the Saints are favored by 3 points and over-under is 45. And when it comes to the starts in this game, I have Taysom Hill and Matt Ryan as must starts for this game. Now, for Matt Ryan, it's a little different because is Julio going to be active for Week 13? There's encouraging signs out of Atlanta that he's been practicing a little bit. So that means that if he's good to go, you fire up Matt Ryan. I mean, the Saints have a very good defense. So like if Julio Jones isn't out there, that means that you're going to get a lot of Lattimore on Calvin Ridley. And, you know, is that really going to cause some issues for Matt Ryan? Now, Janoris Jenkins will not be playing, so that's encouraging to, in a sense of like, from a Falcons standpoint, how their offense may be, you know, be runned out that week. But I think that this is going to be a good game. I think the Falcons are playing a lot better since they went to Raheem Morris, and I think that this is going to be a situation where we're going to see a good fought game. So that's who I have as the starts for quarterback, for running back. You know, this is getting very nerve-wracking, but I have Alvin Kamara here. He's a fringe RB1 for me this week. What's frustrating about this is Alvin Kamara was the number one fantasy running back for weeks. And then as soon as Drew Brees goes down, Taysom Hill becomes quarterback. Alvin Kamara now is almost, you can't trust him. You know, you play him because he has the talent, because he definitely will, you know, blow up any moment. But the way Taysom Hill, the way he plays quarterback, that's not encouraging for someone that I trust and rely on as a RB1 in fantasy. So Alvin Kamara, I mean, he's only had like 3 targets in the last 2 games or something like that. And that is not something that he is able to, you know, build off of, because he's a guy who is a big time receiver. So they have to get him the ball out of the backfield. And Taysom Hill's game is not that. Taysom Hill is a one read guy, and then he can't get the first read. He's gonna run the ball. I mean, Michael Thomas had 6 targets on Sunday, but then he only targeted the rest of his receivers once. So I don't think this is not good for Alvin Kamara. So I hope that if you are in the fantasy playoffs, you have the first round bye. If you're an Alvin Kamara owner, I really hope that Drew Brees comes back in Week 15 so you can get Alvin Kamara's value back, because as long as Taysom Hill is the quarterback, Alvin Kamara is going to be very, very touchdown dependent, because he is not gaining the receptions like he should. So he's still a must start because of the name, but I hate to be the guy who's fighting for a fantasy playoff spot, you know, trying to rely on Alvin Kamara against the Falcons, but you have to play him. And that wide receiver, you're going to play Calvin Ridley. You're playing Michael Thomas. And like I said, Julio Jones is starting and active. You're playing him. Hayden Hurst, You're going to play Hayden Hurst just because the way the tight end landscape is right now. Hayden Hurst was got a big goose egg a couple weeks ago against the Saints, so we'll see how that plays out. But I think you'll have a better opportunity this week with Julio Jones if he's playing. So hopefully that's the case. And then for the players I'm going to sit, now this is dependent on Julio Jones, Russell Gage. If Julio Jones is playing, I'm not playing Russell Gage. I just don't think there's enough target share for him to be really fantasy relevant. I think Emmanuel Sanders is another sit for me. Like I said, with Taysom Hill at quarterback, this is truly pretty much Taysom Hill, or you're going to, you know, maybe get some catches from Michael Thomas. I just don't, he's, like I said, he's not a multi-read type of quarterback. So I think the only person that really benefits from Taysom Hill being under center is Michael Thomas. And then I'm going to sit Jared Cook. Jared Cook is almost a droppable player for me. I like I said, all the pass catches other than Michael Thomas just take a huge decline in fantasy value because of Taysom Hill. So those are my sits. When it comes to the flex, Latavius Murray, you know, I do think that the way Taysom Hill plays quarterback, I think Latavius Murray is a guy that's more structured for what they do. And I think that what we're seeing, because Alvin Kamara is more of a pass, you know, pass catcher out of the backfield, where for, you know, Latavius Murray, he is more of a your traditional running back. So I think his value here is still a little bit worthy when it comes to the flex, but still, I think that this is more, this is really, if you really need some upside, and hopefully, you know, it's not the case anymore, because I mean, last weekend they had four rushing touchdowns and it was two to Murray and then two to Hill. But I can't imagine that's going to be the case this week. And then Todd Gurley, if Todd Gurley is active, I do think that he's a flex play. He should be getting the majority of the carries for the Falcons. But the problem is that the Saints have a very good defense. So just have low expectations for Todd Gurley. And then for the boom bust candidates, I have Ito Smith and Brian Hill. Now, this is only if Todd Gurley is inactive. I think that, you know, last week we all went after the waiver wire for Brian Hill. Ended up being Ito Smith, who had the better fantasy game. So I think these guys deserve boom and bust type of showings for this week just because of the situation. All right, so the next game we're going to talk about is the Lions versus the Bears. The Chicago Bears are favored in this game by 3 points. The over-under is 44.5. You know, honestly, in this game, you know, if you're playing a two-quarterback league, I think that Matthew Stafford and Mitchell Trubisky have some upside here. You're not going to play. I do think Mitchell Trubisky is more of a streamer if you're in a one-quarterback league because the matchup's there. But when you're playing in two-quarterback leagues, I think you still can play both Matthew Stafford and Mitchell Trubisky. I'm making that decision this weekend on my team. I picked up Mitchell Trubisky because he's not a good quarterback. He's a good fantasy quarterback. You know, the Bears are probably going to be behind a lot. They're going to get a lot of garbage time. We saw that on Sunday Night Football. So I do think that I have a choice either to play Baker Mayfield or Mitchell Trubisky. Now the news with Allen Robinson being downgraded in practice participation, I feel like if Allen Robinson's not playing, I'm not playing Mitchell Trubisky. I just can't trust that offense. Now, the only person I really trust is David Montgomery. But I do think that, you know, it's hard to, if Mitchell Trubisky does not have his whole receiver core there, I just don't think that he's a good streamer. But if Allen Robinson is able to play, then I think that Mitchell Trubisky does become a good streamer. At running back, I'm going to play David Montgomery. You know, DeAndre Swift, there was some talks that, you know, he would not play this week, but he was out of the concussion protocol, and then he is now limited because of an illness that's non-COVID related. So if he's not good to go, if he is active, I still see him being on a, you know, very, very limited snap count. So that means that Adrian Peterson would be the guy that I would probably have to play in a flex position, just because, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen with Johnny Swift. You don't know if this is a smokescreen. I mean, you know, the Bears have a good defense, but without having their defensive tackle in the middle of the line, we saw what Aaron Jones did and Jamal Williams did to the Bears defense. I mean, that defense looks a lot different when they can't stop the run. So I do think that there could be some pivot moves here just in case if like DeAndre Swift cannot play or he's limited. But if DeAndre Swift, the problem is if DeAndre Swift is active, it's hard not to play him, because what happens if this is a smokescreen and the coach decides to, you know, play DeAndre Swift more than we anticipate. So that's the only thing about this, is that it's tough when we don't really have an exact answer on how DeAndre Swift is doing. And then at wide receiver, I do think, like, you know, Allen Robinson to me, if he's an active player this week, you're going to play him. He's a must start. Kenny Galladay, he's been ruled out, so that means that Marvin Jones will be the most appealing wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. Now, we, you know, they do have Mohamed Sanu too, but he's not a guy that you can rely on in most fantasy leagues. You know, and honestly, if Allen Robinson does not play, I mean, Anthony Miller will be the number two that's on, you know, the Chicago Bears, but are you really going to trust that? I wouldn't. Not if I'm a team that needs to make it into the playoffs. You know, I'm not going to trust, you know, if Allen Robinson's not playing, if I'm going to play Anthony Miller, just not a guy that I feel confident playing. And when it comes to the tight ends, I think the must start in this game is TJ Hawkinson. And then Jimmy Graham is the other guy. You know, Jimmy Graham is a guy that, you know, you probably have better options out there. You know, with Mitchell Trubisky coming back, he doesn't target the tight end very much as like Nick Foles does. So I think that that is, causes problems. That causes, you know, where's his value? So with that being the case, I just can't see Jimmy Graham really having an impact in this game fantasy-wise. So just something to think about based on when it comes to who's on the waiver wire and who you can probably pick up. But unfortunately, I'm not on the Jimmy Graham wagon this week. And then going on to the Browns versus the Titans, just like Mitchell Trubisky and Matthew Stafford, you know, these two quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill and Baker Mayfield, they're good in two quarterback leagues. You're going to play these guys, you know, so, you know, Ryan Tannehill has been, you know, has been decent. Like, he's not a guy that is blowing up by any means. He's giving you consistent play. So I think Ryan Tannehill and Baker Mayfield, you know, obviously, if I had a choice between the two, I'm picking Ryan Tannehill because obviously they have a better pass offense. But Baker Mayfield, you know, this is the first time last week that he had a touchdown pass since like week 7. You know, he should have had 3, but he only had 2. But what's, you know, with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt being the workhorses of that offense, like, are we going to see Baker Mayfield have the volume to make any fancy relevancy this weekend? So that's the only concern about that game and the quarterbacks. You know, running backs, obviously you're going to play Derrick Henry. You're starting Nick Chubb. You're starting Kareem Hunt. I mean, those are no-brainers. When it comes to wide receiver, you know, you're playing A.J. Brown. He's a must-start every week now. Jarvis Landry, he has more of a flex appeal. I do think the matchup's good, so he definitely could, you know, do some damage this week. And I think Corey Davis is, you know, also a flex play. You know, he's been really consistent. I think that this is not the first round Corey Davis that the Tennessee Titans are trying to get, but he's a good complement to A.J. Brown. So I do think that he deserves some, you know, some flex play there. And that tight end, the only really tight end I'm going to play in this game is Austin Hooper. Jonnu Smith is not going to play in this game from the reports that I saw. So, you know, Anthony Firkser is going to be the guy who's going to take Jonnu Smith's place, but, you know, you can't trust that. So that's, you know, something that you just have to, hopefully you have someone on your waiver wire that you can pivot to, like a Mike Gesicki or maybe a Dalton Schultz or something like that. But just not really good options here this week. And then we're going to move on to the Bengals versus the Dolphins. And, you know, at quarterback, there's talks that Tua is not going to play. So it is one of those things where Ryan Fitzpatrick now becomes a startable play. Against the Bengals, I mean, this could be a very good game for Ryan Fitzpatrick, anybody who's going to be streaming him. Now, this is only if Tua is out, obviously. But it is, you know, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that offense is a lot better overall with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, you know, we still don't know the exact, you know, status for Tua as of right now, if he's going to play or not. But if Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing, I am playing Ryan Fitzpatrick with confidence. At running back, I think Giovanni Bernard, he's an RB2 this week. It looks like the Dolphins are decimated at running back, and it looks like Miles Gaskin should be back this game. But, you know, they said that they're not going to really make a decision until Saturday. But I think it's pretty obvious. This is the timeline where Miles Gaskin's come back and play. So I think that he will be the starter for the Dolphins. And then at wide receiver, I think Devontae Parker, he's more of a, you know, wide receiver 2 this week. Tyler Boyd, you know, he's more of a flex play. Now, T. Higgins, this is a tough one. This is a kind of a boom bust guy for me because Yes, he had a touchdown last week, but it happened at the very end of the game. So I know I was excited about T. Higgins. He was on my roster, and once Joe Burrow went down, I dropped him. I just don't feel like the upside's there. I don't think, you know, the quarterback, you know, is really, you know, Brandon Allen's really going to be able to do much to help his value. So I rather drop somebody like T. Higgins and let somebody else pick him up and play him and let them suffer the consequences of that, because I just don't see T. Higgins putting up a lot of – they have a good playoff schedule, but I just can't see T. Higgins being a guy that is going to win you a fantasy championship. There's just not enough volume there. Their offense is pretty much what it is, and, you know, it's not something that I will, you know, try to put my hand in. But at tight end, you're going to start Mike Gesicki. I think that obviously if Ryan Fitzpatrick's starting, I think the value's there. If Tua's playing, I don't really see the value. I mean, he's still a tight end one this week. That's what he's ranked at. He's more of a fringe for me, but I do think that he definitely can have a good game. I mean, he had a good game last week. I know the volume's not there, but it is something that you should, you know, consider if you need, you know, a pivot to tight end. But now we're going to go to the Jags versus the Minnesota Vikings, and this is a line of 10 points. The Minnesota Vikings are favored by 10 points. The over-under is 51. And, you know, honestly, starting this game, I do think that, you know, Kirk Cousins, you know, he definitely could continue on. I mean, he's a fringe QB1 for me, but, you know, the Jags are not a good defense. I think that this could be a decent play, you know, for the weekend. You know, Mike Glennon, he's a sit for me. I'm not playing Mike Glennon, but Kirk Cousins, I mean, he's not doing terrible in fantasy, which is good. You want to have a guy that you can get a steady, you know, 20 points from, but, you know, it's a good matchup for Kirk Cousins. At running back, you're obviously playing Dalvin Cook and you're playing James Robinson. Those are like no issues there. At wide receiver, you're playing Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen should be back, so you're playing Adam Thielen. When it comes to the Jags, DJ Chark, obviously if he's active, you're playing him. LaVisca Chenault Jr., he's more of a flex play for me, and Keelan Cole is more of a boom bust for me. You know, it's just hard when you have Mike Glennon as your quarterback. Now, Mike Glennon's not an awful quarterback, but is he really going to be able to give you consistent play to try to feed three receivers that people have on their fantasy rosters? You know, if I had to choose who I would want, obviously DJ Chark's the guy, but just not a good... I just feel like Gardner Minshew gives him the best chance to win. And I'm not sure he's healthy enough to play. So I just don't know why they're starting him or not starting him. I don't know if they're just doing it based on drafts, you know, status and where they want to be at in the draft based on there being only a few games left. But I think that they need to, you know, it's obvious that if they're not going to put, if Gardner Minshew is, you know, he's healthy and they're not starting him, my guess is obviously they're going to move on from him. So it's just frustrating because he definitely brings, you know, that mentality that you want in a quarterback. And, you know, he deserves to be able to showcase his skills so he can go somewhere else and play. But it looks like Mike Glenn's still going to be the starter. And then at tight end, I'm going to play Kyle Rudolph. I think that he's had enough volume in the last couple of weeks where he could be a sneaky start. But Kyle Rudolph is a guy that I feel comfortable playing. And then Tyler Eifert, you're not playing him. He's really not, you know, really a guy that you want to play in your fantasy lineup, especially if you're trying to make the playoffs. Now we're going to go to the Raiders versus the Jets. Not sure why I'm going to do this, but we're going to do it anyways. Let's talk about Derek Carr for a second. Derek Carr was horrendous last week and set up for a great matchup. And he got less than 1 point. You know, I played him in one of my leagues. I got 0.6 points out of him. Not something you're looking for when you're looking for a streamer. But in this game, you know, Derek Carr is a guy that you can play. I still believe in him in a sense where he can overcome that bad game from last week. It is another East Coast game, so that plays a factor as well. But do you really have better options out there if you're playing in, you know, two quarterback league for your, you know, QB2? But if you're in a one quarterback league, he may not be a guy that you want to stream. But if he's your best option, you have to kind of roll with the dice there. And you're going to sit Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is just completely garbage right now. It's hard to really start him. You know, he definitely has the intangibles to be a good quarterback, and it's just unfortunate that Adam Gase is destroying this guy. So hopefully they can, you know, figure something out the coaching position and they can get Adam Gase out of there. But obviously, if they have the number one draft pick, they're going to pick up Trevor Lawrence if he decides to declare for the draft. But just it's hard to see someone like Sam Darnold be a good in, you know, good talent, and then it's being wasted. At running back, Josh Jacobs, he's not going to play this week. So Devontae Booker now becomes a fringe RB1 for me. He definitely has the talent. You know, he has a good matchup. So I think that he definitely, because of the workload, that he definitely can be decent for you this week. You know, Frank Gore, he's going to be the workhorse for the Jets. He's a flex play for me as well. I definitely think that it's all about the workload. And I know it's not sexy, but the upside's capped. But I do think Frank Gore, because of the workload, can give you a decent day. At wide receiver, I think in PPR leagues, I think Jameson Crowder is a decent play here. I do think that both Denzel Mims and Breshad Perriman are more flex plays for me. Nelson Agholor and Henry Ruggs, they're always going to be boom bust for me just because the volume's not there. And, you know, it's hard to really trust that. I mean, I guess Nelson Agholor last week did not have a bad game. I mean, he definitely got you some PPR points, but you're looking for a guy who's going to have consistency and have, you know, touchdowns and all that. So, you know, if I have to play a Raiders wide receiver, I'm playing Nelson Agholor, but you have to have, you know, low expectations. He's more of a flex for me. At tight end, you're definitely going to play Darren Waller. I mean, he's a top five tight end. And then for the Jets, you're not playing Chris Herndon. It's really no point in that. I do think that the Raiders defense could be decent. Obviously, anytime you're playing the Jets, I think that you can have a decent outing when it comes to the defense play. But, you know, like I said, the Raiders had a bad game last week. It's another East Coast game. And do you really want to, you know, deal with that? But moving on to the Colts versus the Texans. Now, this is a game where the Colts are favored by 3.5 points. The over-under is 51. Now, in this game, you're going to start. I feel like you can start Phillip Rivers. I think we're getting to the point with Phillip Rivers is that he has a very good next few games. You know, he plays the Texans twice, and then, you know, that's a team that gives up so many, you know, yardage to the, you know, they're like almost dead last in yards allowed on defense. Their rushing defense is bad. I mean, everything's bad about the Texans defense. But, you know, you're going to start Deshaun Watson. He is going to be your must start in this game. And I think Phillip Rivers brings a good appeal when it comes to being a streamer. But also, you can play him in two quarterback leagues. At running back, I'm going to play Duke Johnson. You know, if David Johnson's active, obviously that name goes from Duke Johnson to David Johnson. I do think that Jonathan Taylor, with him coming off the COVID list, he's a good play. You know, Nyheim Hines is a guy that I would play in the flex. And then Jordan Wilkins, I mean, you're not going to play him because if Jonathan Taylor's back, it's Jonathan Taylor taking most of the workload, and then Nyheim Hines will be your third down back. At wide receiver, you know, Brandon Cooks, this gets, you know, with Will Fuller being suspended for the rest of the year, now Brandon Cooks becomes a player that is going to see the uptick in target share. So I think that Brandon Cooks can have a decent game this game. Now, the Colts do have a very good defense, so you may see a bad game out of him the first time around, but I do think that Brandon Cooks, because of Will Fuller not being there, he can be he has a safe floor. Michael Pittman Jr., I think he's more of a flex. T.Y. Hilton's more of a flex. I do think that Kiki QT could have a decent game here, but like I said, we just don't know exactly how this is going to look with Will Fuller not on the team. So we may see a disaster on the Houston offense, but it's all about opportunity. I do think that Brandon Cooks and Kiki QT can be the two guys that are going to benefit from that. And I do think at tight end, you know, this is interesting as well, because I think Jordan Akins, he's a guy that you could probably be a sneaky start for, because he is a guy that could benefit as well. He had a good game against the Patriots. They didn't have a good game on Thanksgiving. Now, with Will Fuller being suspended, we could see Jordan Akins be, you know, better this game. And I think Trey Burton, out of the three of the tight ends for the Indianapolis Colts, Trey Burton's the guy that I'm going to play. I think that he just has the most upside out of the three. Now, the target share is not there. It's definitely a low target share, but it definitely gives you some opportunity to get somebody that could get you a touchdown, because he's been scoring touchdowns, just not the volume's just not there. But now we're going to go to the Rams versus the Cardinals. The Rams are favored by this game by 2.5 points, and the over-under is 48.5. You know, obviously in this game, you're going to play Kyler Murray. I mean, yes, obviously he got really, he looked human last week because of how Bill Belichick plays defense. And I do think that, you know, the Rams is another tough matchup, but you still have to play them. You know, you still got to play Kyler Murray. You know, he's an elite talent. You have to play him. Jared Goff, he's more of a QB2, kind of a fringe QB2. So, yeah, I think that, you know, Jared Goff, he's so hot and cold. It's really hard to figure out what type of quarterback you can get for that week. But I do think Jared Goff, he's a low-end QB2 for me. At running back, I think obviously you're going to play Kenyon Drake. When it comes to the Rams, this is hard because Cam Akers was a guy who stood out last week. And I want to believe Cam Akers now is the starter. I want to say that he's going to get the majority of the snaps. I think this is the part of the year where I think that a lot of people were wondering when Cam Akers was going to be the lead back. And I think, honestly, I think this may be it. You know, I could be wrong, but I think Cam Akers is a guy that they drafted him for a reason. I still think Malcolm Brown does have some flex appeal because he could fall into the end zone. But I do think that Cam Akers is probably the starter going forward. And then Chase Edmonds for the Cardinals. I mean, he's a guy that always feel like you can play in the flex. He's involved in the offense enough where I do feel like he definitely could get into the end zone. He's a good PPR type of running back, so I do think that he definitely has some flex appeal. At wide receiver, you're playing DeAndre Hopkins. This is a must start. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, he kind of falls down to like that, you know, wide receiver two kind of wide receiver three territory. Christian Kirk, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's more of a flex play for me. You know, it looks like Larry Fitzgerald could be out again this week, so that means that they're going to have DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, and then Andy Isabella. So it all depends on who's lined up against Christian Kirk, but he could have a decent game based on volume. But, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, this offense was shut down last week against the Patriots, and the Rams have a very good defense. My guess is Jalen Ramsey's going to play DeAndre Hopkins, and he's going to take him out. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's what Jalen Ramsey does. He takes your best, you know, receiver and makes him irrelevant. So we'll see what happens going forward. But it could be a tough game for Arizona again. And at tight end, there's really nobody you're going to play. You're going to sit Gerald Everett. You're going to sit Tyler Higbee. It's just, you know, they're not getting enough volume for you want to start these guys in fantasy. So until I see one guy break out and have consistency, he's just not, these are two guys I just don't think you can play. And then moving on to the Giants versus the Seahawks. The Seahawks are obviously favored in this game by 10 points. The over-under is 47. Now you're obviously going to play Russell Wilson. Now, Daniel Jones will not be playing in this game. He is out with a hamstring injury. So that means that Colt McCoy will be the starter, but you're obviously not playing Colt McCoy. I mean, this is not, you know, debatable. He's a guy, you know, that just, we'll see what happens, but you're not playing him against the Seahawks on the road. This is not going to happen. You know, and now if you're in two quarterback leagues, you have a lot of injuries, and if you need to play him, like, obviously you're going to play because of the workload, but you have to have low expectations. And that running back, you're definitely playing Chris Carson. I know he's been limited in practice, but if he's playing active, you're starting Chris Carson. You know, Wayne Gallman, he's been decent the last few weeks, so I think Wayne Gallman's a good, you know, play this week. And I think Carlos Hyde, we saw last week that Carlos Hyde, you know, he got a lot of volume. Chris Carson, he got the touchdown last week. And I think they're going to try to use Chris Carson more when they get closer to the goal line. But when it comes to all the other work, I think Carlos Hyde gets that. So I think he does have some flex appeal there. Then at wide receiver, you're obviously playing DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. For the Giants, I think Darius Slayton's the guy that you want to play. Sterling Shepard does have some flex appeal, but those are only two guys that I'm willing to play from a wide receiver standpoint on the Giants. And at the tight end position, you're going to play Evan Ingram. I think he's a guy that he's been the kind of the consistent one there. And now he had a very good game last week, but the problem was that once Daniel Jones went out, he was he was non-existent after that. So I think that's the only problem is that how is Evan Ingram going to be part of the game plan with Colt McCoy? So hopefully it turns out to be a good game, but you just have to have low expectations to come to that. Now we're going to move on to the Eagles versus the Packers. And at quarterback, you're obviously, you're going to play you're playing Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is just on fire. He's having a great season. You know, you can't say the same for Carson Wentz. It definitely is hard to say to bench Carson Wentz because he definitely can get you some, you know, get you some points, especially in garbage time. You know, if they're down by a lot. I mean, you know, Carson Wentz, he's a fringe QB2 for me, but I'm just wondering how, at what point does Jalen Hurts become the guy that they're going to go to? I know it seems, and you know, it seems like it's not to be the case because they got a lot of, you know, contractual, you know, issues there with Carson Wentz in the sense of where like they owe him a lot of money. So if you're going to bench Carson Wentz for Jalen Hurts, you're pretty much saying you're moving on from Carson Wentz, and it's just tough. You know, he has all of his weapons. I mean, Zach Ertz comes back this week, so that's going to be good for him. So maybe that makes a big difference, but really can't do much with the offensive line being what it is. So you definitely start Aaron Rodgers, and then Carson Wentz is still, he's a QB2 in two quarterback leagues, but in one quarterback leagues, you're not going to play him. At running back, you're obviously playing Aaron Jones. Now, with Miles Sanders, this is kind of frustrating because Miles Sanders, you know, he definitely is definitely the guy you want to play in this, you know, matchup because it's a great matchup for Miles Sanders, but his snaps are going down and Boston Scott's snaps are going up. I think I saw a breakdown of the snap count last week on Monday night, and Miles Sanders, he played 42 snaps, and Boston Scott, I think, played like 26 snaps. And why? Like, I just don't get it. Why would you? Miles Sanders is obviously the more superior elite athlete at the running back position. No shade to Boston Scott, but like, why do you take Miles Sanders off the field? He's your, you know, he's your best chance to win. He's very dynamic. He's a good pass catcher. He definitely can run the ball. So why take him off the field for Boston Scott? Now, this is a frustrated Miles Sanders owner in a lot of my leagues. This is, you know, it's hard to see why they just can't keep Miles Sanders on the field full time. But if you're, you know, if you're an Eagles fan and you can give me more details about that, I would love to hear it because maybe I'm just looking at this wrong and, you know, Miles Sanders is not as good as people think is, but I think he's a great running back. It's a matter of the workload. But going to the wide receiver position, you know, obviously Devontae Adams is the guy that you're playing. You're starting him. When it comes to the Eagles, not really a lot of appeal here. I mean, you know, Travis Fulgham, you know, he was a guy that had, you know, a pretty good start of the season, and then he's kind of faded the, you know, last few weeks. You know, Jalen Reagor, he was a guy I was hopeful, you know, to blow up, and he just hasn't done it yet. Hopefully it comes at some point, but like I said, it's just this offensive line is not really giving Carson Wentz enough time to throw the ball, and it's really hard for plays to develop that way. So Jalen Reagor is a guy that I could play, you know, if I really need a flex or a boom bust type of like, I need to win, I'm just going to throw him in my lineup and see what happens. Alan Lazard, I think he's a good flex play. I think that he kind of took back that number two role for the Packers wide receivers. He did take a hard hit last week against the Bears, but it seems like he's going to play. So I think if I have to play Alan Lazard or Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I'm going to play Alan Lazard. So I just feel like he's just the better wide receiver. I think Aaron Rodgers has missed him, and I think that he's a guy that you can definitely put in your flex. At tight end, now this may change when Zach Ertz comes back, and he's supposed to be back on Monday night. I'm sorry, on Sunday. So Dallas Goedert, he definitely, his value still goes down, but he's still playing. I think this is the one offense where you can play Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert because I think that Zach Ertz will be on a limited snap count. So that means that, you know, Dallas Goedert is going to be the guy that he's going to throw to. So I think he definitely has a good chance of being a tight end one this week. And then Robert Tonyan, I think, you know, he's a guy that he had a touchdown, you know, last week as well. So you never know. I mean, he had that one stretch where he had three touchdowns in a game, and then Devontae Adams comes back and he hasn't really done much after that. But I do still think that he's in that fringe, you know, tight end one position for me. So, you know, he's definitely a guy that you could consider if you need to. And then moving on to the Patriots versus the Chargers. You know, Justin Herbert has been doing great this year. No disrespect or anything like that, but this is one of those games where I get nervous about someone going against, like a rookie going against Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is very good against rookie quarterbacks. We just saw what happened to Kyler Murray last week. So I think Justin Herbert is a must start. You have to play him because he's talented. But do you see a dud game from him this week? That could happen. You know, not saying it will, but it could potentially happen based on how good Bill Belichick is game playing against these quarterbacks. So definitely a start, but just hopefully he can break the barrier and do something against the Patriots. Cam Newton, I think, you know, you can play him. He definitely has a safe floor based on the fact that he definitely is, you know, has a running ability, but hopefully, you know, he can get you a good game. Running back, you're obviously playing Austin Eckler. He's the must start in this game. You know, James White and Damian Harris are both flex plays for me. I think that obviously in PPR leagues, James White definitely has the more appeal. He did have 2 touchdowns last week, so that's good. You know, he didn't have a lot of volume. He still got you 2 touchdowns. At wide receiver, you're obviously playing Keelan Allen. I think Jacoby Myers for the Patriots, he's more of a flex for me. Mike Williams, he's a flex for me. You know, he's a guy that could get you a dud or he gets you 20 points because it all depends on, you know, how that plays out. I mean, what kind of circus catch he makes. But it's hard to bench Mike Williams, but he does have limited upside. But he's obviously a guy that you definitely can put in your flex. And that tight end, the only really tight end that's really a guy you're going to play in this game, obviously, is Hunter Henry. You know, the Patriots don't have any tight end that you would want to start anyways, but I think Hunter, I think, you know, honestly, and as I look at this, I look at the weapons that the Chargers have, and I look at what the Patriots are having to defend. It's hard to act like Justin Herbert couldn't have a good game, but you look at what the Cardinals have. They had Kyler Murray, one of the most dynamic quarterbacks. And then you look at, they got DeAndre Hopkins, they got Christian Kirk, they got Andy Isabella, you know, they have, and then you have Kenyon Drake. And they have decent pieces. It's crazy to me that Kyler Murray got shut down. So we'll see what happens. Now, moving on to the Sunday night football game, we got the Broncos versus the Chiefs. Looks like the Broncos will have a quarterback this game. The Kansas City Chiefs are favored by 14 points. The over-under is 51. I guess you can play Patrick Mahomes. You know, I think if you feel comfortable playing Patrick Mahomes, you can play him. I think that this is a good matchup for him. So I think that if you like to play Patrick Mahomes and take your chances, I think this would be a good game you can. You know, when it comes to the Denver Broncos, I hope you guys got my joke. You obviously are playing Patrick Mahomes without any problems. And then for the Broncos, if Drew Lock is active, I mean, you know, this is, you know, if you're in a 2-quarterback league, he may be a guy you can put in there for, you know, some hope. But I honestly would not play Drew Lock, but I think I can understand why you would have to. But it's one of those things where, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes is the must start. At running back, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is having an illness this week, so he could miss this game. But if he does, he's an RB2. And if he doesn't play this game, I think Le'Veon Bell takes that role and he could be an RB2 just based on workload and not having to share any carries with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But there's really no status yet on him. And then for the Broncos, I mean, Melvin Gordon, he's the guy that you'll play. I mean, Phillip Lindsay's dealing with an injury. So Melvin Gordon maybe gets bumped from a flex play to maybe an RB2 just because of workload alone. But the Chiefs are a good defense, so I definitely don't want to take any credit away from them. And then going to the wide receiver position, you're obviously playing Tyreek Hill. He's a match-proof wide receiver. You're playing him. He's having an insane year right now. And you just, I don't know, he's just so fun to watch. I mean, I'm a Bucs fan, and I watched that game last week, and I have Tyreek Hill on my fantasy league. That's one of the worst games, man. Like, to have your team play, like the Bucks play the Chiefs, and then you see Tyreek Hill just continue to blow up, and you're excited from a fantasy standpoint, but you're pissed off as an actual fan. I mean, the Bucks were awful against the Chiefs last week, but you know, Tyreek Hill helped me get to 12-0 in my main league, so I'm happy about that. But still, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to like be a fan of a team, and then you have your main fantasy player playing against that team, and they just completely make them embarrassed. But yeah, it's fantasy is a very interesting game. And then when it comes to kind of like flex play, I think Sammy Watkins is a decent play here at the flex. You know, Mecole Hardman's always going to be a boom bust for me. For the Broncos, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, he's a boom bust. I think Tim Patrick's a boom bust. You know, KJ Hamler's a boom bust. I mean, it's just all depends who plays quarterback. If Drew Lock is back, I think obviously their upside goes up. I think Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick are the two guys that you could play with little confidence. But, you know, like I said, the Chiefs defense is a pretty decent defense. And then at tight end, you're obviously playing Travis Kelce, and I think you can play Noah Fant. Noah Fant was really the only guy who caught a reception last week, but that's what it was. I mean, they were playing a practice squad quarterback, and I felt like Noah Fant would have been the only guy that was going to benefit from that because that's how usual quarterbacks do. They go where their tight end is, and but it didn't work out that way in anyone's favor. But moving on to the other going down to the first Monday night game. It's more like if you're on the West Coast, it's a Monday night or Monday afternoon game, but it's the Washington football team versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers are favored by 8 points. The over-under is 42. Now this is going to be a very interesting game because the Washington football team is a very good defense. So when it comes to like the upside for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm a little nervous about this game because I think you obviously have to play Big Ben. But he's more of a QB2 for me. Alex Smith, I don't think you can really play Alex Smith. I mean, that Pittsburgh defense is just too good. So I just can't see you wanting to play him, you know, unless you're like in a two quarterback league and you have Tom Brady or Teddy Bridgewater on a bye week. But at running back, you're playing Antonio Gibson. I think obviously he has some good appeal here. Just because of workload. I think JD McKissick is a guy that you can play in the flex. Now, don't know the stats right now for James Conner, but if he's out, you know Benny Snell, he could be the guy that you could pivot to. Anthony McFarlane. What I was surprised about last week was Anthony McFarlane got a lot more carries than I anticipated. Benny Snell, I mean, he's the guy that's the backup, but they use a lot of Anthony McFarlane. So if James Conner is not playing, I have a hard time considering playing one of these other running backs because the Washington football team, like I said, they have a very good defensive line. And they got good corners. I mean, they're no joke. So if there's a game that the Pittsburgh Steelers could lose, this could be it because they have a tough defense. But not saying that's going to happen, but definitely have low expectations for all Steelers. At wide receiver, I think obviously Terry McLaurin's a must start. And I think that he has some low upside this week just because of the matchup, but you have to play him. On the Pittsburgh side of the wall, on the ball, I do think that Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool are guys that you would play. Juju's a little interesting for me just because of the volume, but he had a good game on Wednesday. But I still think you know these three receivers can be supported in this offense. So I think that you can definitely play these guys at tight end. You know, I think Eric Ebron, he's a fringe tight end one for me. He had a good game the other, on Wednesday. So I think that that could carry over, especially if the Washington football team is not are really locking up the wide receivers. And then Logan Thomas, I think he can be a fringe guy this week as well. I think that he had a good game on Thanksgiving, but against the Steelers, it's hard for me to see that. But going on to the later Monday night football game, we got the Bills versus the 49ers. This is an even line with the over-under is 47.5. You're obviously going to play Josh Allen. Now, the interesting thing about Josh Allen, he's dealing with some injuries right now. So who knows exactly how this is going to affect him this week. But that 49ers defense, I mean, they got Richard Sherman back. They're good against the Rams. So they could shut down Josh Allen, so his upside could be limited there, but you're playing Josh Allen regardless. He has a safe floor with being a running quarterback. At the running back position, most of these running backs this week, I have them as RB2s. I think Raheem Mostert, Zach Moss, and Devin Singletary, they're more RB2s. I have Devin Singletary more as a flex, but I do think that, this is a tough matchup, so I think that you just have to have low expectations. And then, is Tevin Coleman come back this week? What is the situation in the backfield for the 49ers? But if you're starting anybody, you're going to start Raheem Mostert. And then going to the wide receivers, Obviously, you're playing Stephon Diggs. I think Cole Beasley, he obviously has some flex appeal there in the PPR leagues. You know, Debo Samuel had a great game coming back, so I think that he could have a good game here. Gabriel Davis, now, because John Brown is out, I think Gabriel Davis has a good shot to have some, you know, decent target share here. At the tight end position, you can play Jordan Reed. I think Jordan Reed, he didn't get involved enough in the offense where he could. He's a boom bust tight end, though. You play him, he's more of a fringe, you know, tight end one this week, but he's more of a boom bust for me. So he's been very inconsistent since, you know, taking over George Kittle. But it's one of those things where you just have to, you know, if you need a tight end, you have to play him. All right, so now going to right now, the Tuesday night football game. We got the Baltimore Ravens versus the Dallas Cowboys. Now we have the Ravens, decimated by COVID. Now there hasn't been any word right now about what's going on with Lamar Jackson. You know, they're saying don't think that he could, you know, be available for you. But if he is, I mean, you have to play him, obviously. This is a great matchup. I mean, Andy Dalton, this is a tough matchup. He's a fringe QB2 for me. Robert Griffin III, he is now on IR, so obviously he will not be available for the Ravens. So hopefully Lamar Jackson can come back. But it looks like with RG3 being on IR and you have Lamar Jackson being, you know, iffy about coming back, Trace McSorley is the guy that they're going to play. I mean, they're going to start him. The problem with this game being on Tuesday, like, if you're going to chance Lamar Jackson, like, you better have Trace McSorley on your bench, because you obviously want to play Lamar Jackson in this matchup, but if he's inactive again, you need to have a pivot. So do you pick up somebody else and not play Lamar Jackson because you're afraid that he may not play, or you have the backup for the Ravens and you're just going to play that quarterback and know that you're chancing a guy that, you know, had a kind of a garbage time fluke touchdown to Hollywood Brown on Wednesday? But do you really want to trust that if you're trying to make it to the playoffs? You know, at the running back position, you're obviously going to play Zeke. It's a tough matchup for him, but we'll see what happens with Zeke. He didn't have a very good game last week. I think that obviously J.K. Dobbins being back, J.K. Dobbins is the must start here against this defense. With Mark Ingram or Gus Edwards, they're going to get some touches there if they're active. But I think that the guy you want to play is J.K. Dobbins. It's a good matchup. And then at wide receiver, you're obviously going to play Amari Cooper. But Amari Cooper, to me, is more of a wide receiver too. CeeDee Lamb, you know, because he plays into the slot, I think CeeDee Lamb has some flex appeal here. I'm not playing Marquise Brown just because he had a touchdown last week and he had a good fantasy game. Doesn't mean that he's going to do that same thing this week, especially if Lamar Jackson's out. I mean, this is a good matchup, but I can't trust Marquise Brown. He's been so inconsistent. I just don't think he's a guy that I'm going to, you know, sit there and say, okay, he scored a 70-yard touchdown, so I'm going to go plug in my lineup. No, it was a fluke. It was garbage time. You know, it was just, you know, a play that just broke, the coverage broke down and he got a touchdown. So I'm not playing him. And then Michael Gallup, he's really not, you know, a guy that I want to play. You know, he's a boom bust type guy, but he's just not the guy that Andy Dalton looks at. It's more of Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. And then at tight end, I'm going to play, I think, Dalton Schultz. He could have a decent game. Obviously, if Mark Andrews playing, he's active. You're playing Mark Andrews, he's a must start, but Dalton Schultz could have a decent game here. But it's just one of those things where it's crazy the last few weeks. We know having, you know, a game like the Ravens and Steelers supposed to be playing on Thanksgiving, got moved back from Thanksgiving to Sunday. We got from Sunday to Monday, then Monday to Tuesday, then finally Wednesday. And it's just crazy. But at least we're getting all the games. We're not missing any games. There's no week 18 added right now. So that's definitely a good sign of hopefully things just continue on when, you know, we're not going to miss a week where they can just delay it. And hopefully Wednesday is usually the day that they're going to delay it the latest. But that is it for today. Like, don't forget that the Bucks and the Panthers have a bye week, so check your lines. Make sure you have none of those players in your lineup. But that's all the starts and sits. If you have any questions, please leave a comment, or you can reach me at chip@gridironfantasyfootball.com, and I can answer all of your start sit questions. Don't forget to come back on YouTube on Saturday, where I do all my injury updates and all my pivots, just in case There's main players out. I'm getting a lot of good feedback on that video, so I think it's a very important one, especially for week 13. So make sure you hit subscribe to check that out. And I'll be back on Monday when I go over all of my reactions to the week 13 matchups and all of the fantasy sets for that week. So like I said, please hit subscribe. And then if you like to follow us on social media, you can find us at Facebook and Twitter at The Gridiron Pod. And we're on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So that's it for today. Good luck in week 13. I hope you get your win. I hope you get that win where you get into the playoffs. You may have to wait some time because we have all these games that we have to play. And then, you know, we don't know anything until Tuesday. So when the last game gets played. So good luck. You know, if you need anything, just, you know, leave a comment or email me at chip@gridironfantasyfootball.com. So take care and we'll see you on Monday.